everybody. Welcome to the Mega 64 Podcast. Tonight's episode is brought to you by us.
Wow. That's the coolest sponsor.
We work really hard to put the show on for you. Ain't nobody helping us out. No mom. No dad.
No.
We're doing it all on ourselves, by ourselves, on our own. Yeah, I messed up. Deal with it. If you want to support us, check out shop.mega64.com.
That's a good sponsor.
That's the sponsor for the night.
But now here's the part where we prove how rebellious and cool we are. Yeah. No, don't go to our store.
Ooh.
Rocco.
You know, we're kind of edgy like that. Like, we gave you a great thing to do.
Dude,
and
you're
then
influencing me to not.
Rocco's clearly wearing the uniform.
Anti-corporate.
Wearing the uniform of somebody who doesn't shop at Mega 64.
Anti-corporate.
I'm not. Listen, if Mega 64 is a corporation, and even though it's our corporation, I can't support it.
Shoulder.
So I'm going to give a no on. That's a no from me, dog.
If you want to look like Rocco, don't go to shop.mega64.com. If you want to look like Sean,
ooh, you could be all
that.
Oh,
we don't sell that anymore.
Look at that.
Go to shop.mega64.com. Like, you can get shirts just as good as that, but you can't get that
one. Get my face next time, Kevin, because I have a good one.
Yo, hey, I would just want to start the show off tonight. Let's just get the elephant out of the room. This podcast, this show, this channel, whatever you want to call this group we have here, Mega 64, has hit a new paradigm.
Hello?
A shift in the way it's all done, and it will never be the same. Because, you know, I'm sure everyone's already talking about it. I'm sure... you know, the chat's already gone viral.
Oh, they know.
So let's address the elephant in the room. Finally, this team, I didn't know if it was going to be me or Sean or whoever else is in this. I thought one of us, you know, we try so hard. I bet someday one of us can become a perfect digital influencer. And as everyone has noticed tonight and is talking about on, you know, I'm sure it's on Variety and all that stuff. Yes, it has happened to me. That's right. Finally, we're back from PAX East, and I'm proud to announce, you know, everyone at home knew I had the Twitter hoodie.
Fuck you.
They knew I had the Apple Siri
peak
shirt.
Influence here.
Yeah.
But I'm proud to announce that at PAX East, I was given the Facebook beanie.
Oh.
And then I declared on the show floor, if only I had the pants to match this Silicon Valley ensemble. And someone with but a whisper said to me, Twitch has pants.
And now everybody at home knows you're the most long-winded as well.
So, it's finally there. Influential, just iconic in every way. So, if anybody has any, you know, listen, all you corporations out there, if you want to work with me and just promote your brand,
yeah,
let me know. I'm the person to talk to.
It's like the opening of Silicon Valley. Rocco says we're in the intro to that show.
Yeah, it's like
Pornhub,
the whole intro.
Do you have Pornhub briefs on?
That's for me to know.
Do you have a Discord jock strap?
I'll find out.
For protection?
I would not wear that.
We don't fuck with Discord. Yeah, Aaron.
People say that's an easier one to wear, too, than the Skype one. I ain't wear it.
Do you have what else do you have?
I already know what you're going to ask.
What am I going to ask?
Tumblr socks. No, I don't.
That's not what I was going to ask.
But that's what I want.
Do they have those?
That's not good. That's not...
Does anyone at home have Tumblr socks or any form of Silicon Valley socks?
What's the oh my god, what's the dating and sex app?
Tinder.
I don't know.
Do you have Tinder?
Or Grindr, yeah.
Do you have Grindr condom on?
Yeah.
No, not right
good
now.
Question.
Not right now.
At the moment, that would be a
oh,
waste.
You took that off?
That'd be a waste.
Come on.
Christian date butt plug?
Can't use it more than once.
Do you have the Christian date
Christian
butt plug?
Christian date butt plug.
No.
Christian Mingle's a bigger site.
Before I was a digital influencer, I was a Catholic.
There's Farmer's Date, that. Christian Bait. There's all kinds of Master Bait.
Nice. Speaking of Facebook,
I got a question.
Your Facebook. Oh, well, go ahead.
One more. Before you get dressed, how many terms of service agreements do you have to sign in the
morning?
Oh,
my God. I have to wake up 4 hours early. But let me just say that I was excited to debut, you know, kind of my new lifestyle here. But then someone had to swoop in and steal my thunder. Garrett with this official Bam Margera CKY2K apparel. How did he get that? I thought I was exclusive.
This is licensed by Chris Rabb and...
See, here's what happened. We were turning up the heat too much on Rocco, so he deflected on
me. Yeah, he just pushed it onto me. I don't know. Ever since I showed up here today, everyone's been razzing me about my...
I wasn't razzing you. I was just like, wow,
actually,
I like your shirt.
Everyone started saying, cool shirt.
That's what I said.
And then fucking Kevin came in and was like, I can see where you messed up. Is that official? Oh, what mall did you buy that in? Oh, they sell that down at the skate shop?
Did they?
Kevin didn't say a word to me.
No, it's a fucking spray paint stencil on a red t-shirt.
Now, why... My question,
it's hardcore.
You said you were embarrassed. And
I made this like... probably in like 2003, and then I don't wear red shirts, so it's just still. But everyone said it looks new.
This is the question.
Brand new.
if you made it, you had full creative control of the shirt. So you made a shirt that you knew you would never wear because it was red. It's a weird choice.
Yeah, but I did not foresee the future of pack ratting this away for 10 years and then bringing it out on this podcast to have it be a 15.
Hold on.
15, true.
When did you actually make the shirt?
Legitimately, like 2006. I used to spray paint stencils on before I learned how to make those patches of my custom shirts are made of.
Right.
Because it is funny how time will get away from you like that. Because I remember when we were working in our studio here and we needed like a new... we had like a Ethernet like switch or something that went bad.
Yeah.
And you told me, we need a new one because this one, you know, this is one I just I found at work in, you know, in 97. So we need to replace it. And I remember telling that to Derek. And Derek, you specifically were like... Does he know that's 21 years old?
Yeah, it was
because
a 10
base T. Because it doesn't sound that long ago, but wow, it is.
10 base T Ethernet switch that the entire PPS ran off of at the old studio.
Well, you kept saying it was like really... a new piece of equipment. Like, this thing shouldn't be broken. I just took it from work.
Yeah.
21 years ago.
8 jobs ago.
I mean, 21 years. That's a lifetime.
Time starts to kind of like melt into just this.
Anyways, this is a total tangent. I was trying to say that because Rocco was wearing a Facebook hoodie, it's the perfect time to mention that I'm on Facebook right now.
Oh. Mm. They're listening Twitter to everything hoodie. Everything we're saying.
Twitter hoodie, Facebook.
Facebook beanie.
Yeah,
cool. Dang it, Facebook reloaded on me. I was gonna read a meme.
Well,
damn.
It was. I'll just go off the top of my head. If you had an evil...
Sorry.
If you had an evil twin, what question would I have to ask to prove if it was the real you?
Classic meme.
Comment with your question. And then it was a picture of, like, regular Captain Kirk and evil Captain Kirk.
Oh no.
Star Trek meme.
Trekkie stuff.
Mm. What would be your question? I already know what Rocco's question would be. It would be something about Power Rangers or Willy Wonka.
You could go deep and ask the most obscure question about either of those things or like Disney history, and that'd be it.
Well, you're not really – you don't know much on Disney history. I'd ask something and I'd get a wrong answer. I still wouldn't be able to tell if it was a real person or not. It was a real person.
All
right. I don't know. I know Sean and I would not be dates or birthdays or stuff like that.
No.
Neither form would remember.
I know.
Well, I would ask a date or a birthday, and if I got an answer, I know it was the wrong person.
That's true. Like our weakness works as our strength in this.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm strong.
Dad's strength.
Yeah.
Well, what would we ask Derek? If there was an evil twin of Derek, I don't know what we would ask him.
Yeah. Man, that is...
What was the name of our apartment when we lived together?
Oh, you guys have
Do we have a name? What nickname for the apartment?
Well, I guess this is the fake one.
Because
the real Derek would 100%
Sean and I used to live in an apartment together. I don't remember having a stupid name for the apartment. Wow. What was it?
Wow.
What was it?
It's stupid, what for the record. It? But it's Neverland Ranch, because it was on Jackson Drive.
I don't remember
that. Oh, we did.
I don't remember that either.
Oh, man.
How does Sean remember that? No,
I would never name my apartment after suspected child molester.
We lived on Jackson Drive and it was never.
That's not true, because you live on Fogel Lane now.
Yeah, but I don't call my house the subway little kid trap.
You don't call it the $5 foot long.
You keep moving into these themed neighborhoods.
I don't know if I believe this is the real Derek.
Yeah, I'm actually.
Because he would definitely know that and recall it fondly. Yeah.
Hey, we were at PAX last week, and I was trying to spitball ideas for a movie about Jared Fogle and Gary Glitter.
Like
it's a horror movie.
This
right?
was Derek's spitball session.
Where
they
get out of jail, and I feel like they need a third accomplice, but who's the third most famous child abuser
who lives
out there
up that's still alive?
I couldn't think of a third one.
Can I get Casey Anthony? Throw in a...
Not
she just
same,
killed her kid. She
not the same thing, yeah.
No, they're all terrible.
Most of them get the behind bars, so there's not a lot of them left.
This is dark.
It is.
You just took my movie and made it dark. I was trying to do...
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I was trying
like
to do
a buddy comedy,
a lighthearted, you know, funny thing, and you're talking about murder in jail. You are wrong, man. You're wrong on so many levels. You took a nice thing and you made it dark. We don't even need that.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I can't believe he did that on his own.
This is what you guys talk about at PAX when
this
I
was
go.
There for
was
that.
All PAX.
I wasn't there for that.
This was all. As Sean was like leading the cost. He's like, can you just throw me in there? I'll be like
the
normal one. And I was like,
happening.
Sean, you don't want to be part of this group. And he's like, no, I would. I love kids. And I was like, no, but Sean, this is like a whole different, like, this is the bad kind. And he was like, no, I'll do it. I'll be fine.
I didn't say any of this. I wasn't there for this.
I was there for all of PAX.
And he can confirm.
And will not comment on that. But I had a great PAX, thanks to everybody who
it was a good PAX.
Came to the show. We had a great time. It was fun hanging at the booth. And our panel was a lot of fun, too, on that Saturday night.
It was a good panel. If you were watching at home,
I saw that.
You must have hated it.
Yeah, sometimes different conventions have things where they'll stream certain panel rooms, and most of the time, just about all of the time, we decline. We go, nah, you don't need to stream ours, and it's usually okay. Or they'll put us in a room that they don't stream the stuff in. But this was a situation where the room that we needed was like, hey, we're streaming nonstop. We can't turn it off.
That seems to happen to us, yeah.
Yeah, more and more conventions are doing the streaming thing. And the thing is, we like to show stuff that's special just for that crowd. And so it kind of conflicts sometimes with what we want to show. Or maybe legally we can't show it online or just whatever. There's various reasons. But
anyway, we don't like to stream it.
Yeah.
Just show up in person to get the show. If you're not there, you don't get the show.
Yeah.
That's the benefit of going to a live Mega 64 panel.
Exactly.
You guys are willing to put your balls on the chopping block.
Which, side note, if
some stuff that you really, really shouldn't
if you
have
don't have
there.
A pass to go to a convention, you shouldn't have access to the panels. What's the point of that?
Yeah.
What's the incentive to go?
Yeah, well, because that's the thing is people wait for hours. They, you know, they deal with the traffic.
They earn
stand
just,
in line out in front of the panel.
Yeah, it's a fucking nightmare. It sucks.
They earn
and I
it.
Feel like you earned the show. And if you this Joe Blow is watching from their home,
getting Cheeto stains on his fucking t-shirt.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. It's just funny. I just want to say, PAX did do a thorough job because anytime we went to it, they went to We'll Be Right Back.
Yeah.
Like, we've had a lot of events that we've done where it's like they weren't clear on when to not cut to it, you know, and it's like, okay, you're still streaming this video. We don't want to debut
yet.
We
couldn't trust.
Yeah, we couldn't trust them with any of it. So, anyway, PAX did a great job. They did an awesome job where they went to We'll Be Right Back right at the appropriate times and all that. But the thing that was funny was I had the chat open on my computer on stage, and people at home were just like, these guys are fucking, they shouldn't have a panel. These guys, what are they, you know, like, what, they shouldn't be at PAX if they can't show anything.
I heard there was the comment, what are these guys, think they're too good for Twitch? Which, please.
Look at those pants.
nobody thinks they're too good for Twitch.
No, not at all.
I don't think anybody is. Nobody could even ever
get a
think
close
that.
Up yeah, on that. Yeah,
that's unthinkable. This guy this is just good enough
just
for Twitch.
Dreams
Twitch. What you're
right.
looking at right now.
Something's twitching inside.
This
there.
Was created for Twitch. Okay, this is what Twitch was invented for.
The taint.
Look at that. Okay. Have you ever seen such... No, don't cover it up. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, let it be out in its
actually,
glory.
When you put your hand over it, that, for whatever reason, looks that's even dirtier.
No. It's like, dude, you're right.
You know what?
Yeah. Janet Jackson on the cover of Rolling Stone
style. I'll tell you why. And
suggestive?
Be honest. Keep the camera on Rocco. That is, like, reminiscent of... So like so much pornographic imagery is like yeah
like
the
doing
hand.
That
yeah. It just looks highly pornographic.
I hate
there.
It.
But no, leave the hand there. Mean. Leave the hand.
No.
There.
Yeah.
No.
I can't even look.
Oh, that's just disgusting.
Yuck a puppy.
Anyway, enough about that. Enough.
Anyway, no. Why? Hey. Welcome to reality.
Not too good. Anyway, no, we're not too good for Twitch, but we just couldn't show that stuff. But anyway. Yeah. But other people did tune in, and I mean, there are a couple of people mad, but everybody else tuned in and still got to see us do Q&A and stuff like that. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and we had some good
the
questions
intro.
And stuff.
It was a great panel and
great intro.
Is that the last time we're gonna do that panel? We kind of do like a panel programming that we take around for the year.
Certain things will stay and some won't. So I don't know.
So you may be able to catch that particular show. What's our next convention? Do you know?
Honestly, it's like Anime Expo, I think, in July.
Oh, all right, so.
Oh, wow.
Come see us at Anime Expo.
Did we actually get a panel there?
I don't know. we applied for one. We'll
I know
out.
You were talking shit publicly this week, trying to lock down. Oh, so we got the panel.
Everything's good.
All right.
Well,
it's good.
They haven't confirmed the schedule, but it's all.
Well, we're in there. We'll see you there. Anime
Hopefully.
Expo.
They'll squeeze us in.
Anime Expo is like our biggest panel of the year.
Yeah, that's a really big one.
I feel
every
like
time.
We always have more people turn out for that than any other convention.
I think so. We get a pretty big turnout for PAX East, but I think Anime Expo might be the biggest.
Anime Expo is definitely the biggest.
I think so.
Looking forward to Anime Expo.
Me too.
But PAX was a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time. While we were at that panel, let me ask you about this. This is something we talked about at the panel.
All right.
Interesting subject. Okay, so Garrett, we talked about you. Garrett was not at the show.
I missed you guys via all the social media I saw.
Yeah.
When you guys are there, I always get that...
FOMO?
That Well, FOMO's pre...
No FOMO.
Yeah, it's like a post-mo. I get current mo when you guys are out there having fun. But you talked about me, did you?
We did.
We did.
What happened? So we, much.
We talked about at the panel, I think someone asked us, I want to say they asked us favorite Resident Evil movie.
Oh, yeah, they did. But you want to answer that question now?
You wish I was there?
Well, first of
the
all,
first one.
What is the answer?
The first one.
That's what I said.
There you
said.
Go.
Oh, you have the same answer as Sean.
Cool. Cool.
I mentioned that Garrett is the only one I know that stuck to the plan of he has not missed one of those movies.
No.
I don't know anyone else locked in on that series.
I'll go see each one in theaters no matter
and
what.
And I mentioned that Garrett won't even get other people involved. He'll go by himself if he has to. You know, he won't even mention it to other people.
And I made a comment.
Yeah.
By the way, I said, and how pathetic is that? Going to a movie by yourself.
Ooh, yeah.
To which Rocco interrupted me and said, I go to movies by myself all the time.
Yes.
I do as well.
Yes. So that's what I want to ask about.
What?
Was that a shocking concept to you?
Yeah.
So legitimately was.
I've legitimately gone to a movie by myself, I think, one time in my life.
Okay.
And I felt so uncomfortable. I
really?
Swore it off.
That's you.
Really?
I would never do it again.
Because when it wasn't just me, because I noticed some people had a reaction when you said that, like kind of like, I just got that look of like, I've done that. You know?
I go
and
to
I
movies.
And I was just talking about it a few days before.
I go to movies with my friends. I call up my friends to see a movie. If nobody will see a movie with me, I won't go see the movie.
That's interesting.
Oh, and the one time I did it was 1408, the John Cusack, Stephen King adaptation.
Yeah.
I wanted to see that so bad.
Yeah.
And nobody would go with me. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to go by myself. And here's what happened. We went to the theater, and they were still cleaning out the movie. I went to the theater by myself.
Yeah.
I had my candy and my soda. And
yeah, you told me about
that. I go to sit down in the movie theater, and they're cleaning it out. So, like, you can't come in. Everybody just wait outside. So I'm sitting out there by myself, and there's, like, a group of three people here, a group of four people over there, and then just me by myself. And everybody's, like, talking to each other, and I'm just like, I got nobody to talk to. I'm
Is this before smartphones?
I'm here by myself. Whenever 1408 came out.
It may have been. Yeah.
So not only was I by myself, I was in a situation where I was very aware that I was by myself because I couldn't even like go into the movie theater and sit down. You know, I just felt so lonely. I was like, this is really uncomfortable.
On the other side, I fucking love it.
It's liberating.
Me too.
Love it. Now, the first time I did it was when I saw the movie Perfume. I've said this before.
Yeah.
Which was the weirdest fucking movie with the weirdest ending in the world. And I was devastated. I couldn't talk to someone about that ending. But otherwise, by myself, 100%, love it.
Okay, so here's where I'm coming from with
here's
this.
Here's the thing. Okay, go ahead. And I'll say my reasoning.
Because I've had people, I've heard that you're not the only one I've heard, you know.
Let me say my reasoning real quick, because it's very simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are certain things that I consider social activities.
Sure.
You can do them alone, but they're way less enjoyable. I would really never go to like a sit-down restaurant by myself.
Sure, okay.
I wouldn't go to Chili's by myself.
I wouldn't go bowling by myself.
I wouldn't go bowling by myself. I wouldn't go to a billiards hall by myself.
Sure. I'd go scuba diving by myself.
I wouldn't go to Disneyland by myself. I wouldn't go to a movie by myself. There are some things that are inherently social activities. I feel like you need to have another person to enjoy it with.
Sure.
Technically, you can do it by yourself, but it's just weird to me, and I would rather like wait until somebody's available to experience it with me. Movies are one of those things.
Okay, so here's where I'm coming from with that. I think there is, and I'm not even necessarily saying that you're doing this, but I think in general, there is an equation, because I used to feel some of those things when I was younger, but it went away as I got older, and I feel like there's an equation of alone equals lonely that I think needs to dissolve.
Some people really enjoy their alone time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm not even saying that as a like, hey man, you need to drop that. That's not what I mean. I think that's just, it's a natural thing to think. Like, oh, you're going to Disneyland by yourself. Like, oh, you didn't have anyone to go with. But in all honesty, like some of these activities are they're completely different when you're on your own. It's not so much that you know, like when I go to a movie or whatever, there's certain ones I would rather go with, you know, like Star Wars. I want to go with people to that, you know. I would love to do that. But there's also to me a value in like, hey, there's this one Oscar nominated movie and the Oscars are in 2 days, no one's around. Well, fuck it, I'm going. You know, and I'll take things in a movie that I won't necessarily with a group of people. You know what I mean? Like I got more out of The Godfather watching it by myself than I did with a bunch of people. You know what I mean? So and in this case of like Disneyland, you know, if I'm going just on a weekend for fun, I want to go with people.
Sure.
But I've gone a billion times by myself before, like, okay, I'm going up to LA for the day. I just did this like last week.
Right.
I'm gonna pop in, and it's a totally different experience. Again, when you're with a bunch of people, it's like, okay, what fun shit can we do? When you're on your own, it's fucking. I was on Pirates of the Caribbean by myself, and it's like, this is fucking creepy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I had no, I never had a moment of like, shit, I wish I was with other people. You know, I guess it's where you kind of psychologically arrive at that stuff. To me, I didn't at any point think, fuck, man, if other people were here, I wish, you know. I never had that, you know. I think it's kind of the things in between other things that I don't have a problem with, you know. If I'm waiting, you know, okay, I have a flight in like 3 hours, I got nothing to do. I'll see a movie by myself, I don't give a shit, you know. I guess it's more if I have a plan. I wouldn't plan to do it on my own. Does that make sense? Like, oh, this weekend I'm definitely going to see Star Wars. I'll make that plan with other people. I wouldn't necessarily do, you know. Does that make sense?
There used to be some things, though, that I would specifically plan to, like, I'm going to go see that movie on my own.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, not have to worry about anyone else. Make sure nothing could get screwed up. It's all according to my schedule.
Right.
Certain things, movies, number one. I mean, I'm in a place right now where me and my girlfriend go see a lot of movies. Mm. She's down to see anything. So I don't do that anymore, but there were definitely times where I would go to the movies alone a lot.
Yeah.
Go out to eat alone a lot. What was the other thing? Shopping. I don't like to shop with other people.
Well, it's pressure. You got to hurry up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's going to a record store with other people. Like, let's pop in and look at this record store. I walk by. I'm like, no, I'm not interested. And people are always like, why don't you want to go to that? It's like, because if I go in there, I'm going to want to be in there for 3 hours. I'm going to make the four of you wait outside bored, you know. Yeah.
But I still kind of, I know what you're saying though, Derek, I still kind of feel it a little bit with a restaurant, You know, because that, in my mind, is the whole reason I would want, I ever even want to go to a restaurant is to talk with other people. So
I will say the experience is better. It's good going out by yourself
sure.
to do all those things, but I will give you that it is amplified and a level above good mm-hmm. or just, you know, I had a great time or whatever. If you have a good person in your company, that can amplify
it. There's a book that came out a few years ago called Never Eat Alone.
Uh-huh.
The whole concept is that it's a wasted opportunity. You know, it's so hard sometimes to find a moment to socialize with people. Mm-hmm. If you're ever eating by yourself, that's the perfect time to be like connecting with somebody,
sure.
talking with them. And by getting in the habit of eating alone, you're kind of isolating yourself and probably like eating more than, you know, you eat by yeah. yourself and then later on you'll eat again because eating sure. is such a social activity. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, the only time I've done the restaurant thing,
yeah.
I've only done that when it's like, okay, I'm in Seattle and I was in Seattle by myself and I was, again, like waiting for a flight and it was like, okay, the only place to eat here is this restaurant, so I'll eat, you know. But I don't really, that's not something I really enjoy, like, that particularly. But, like, going to see a movie or going to whatever on my own, like, I enjoy my alone time a lot. So it doesn't, that's something that... doesn't really.
Oh, I hope you do, because yeah. You're on track to be that old man who has no friends.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
You're 60. When I used to work at the bookstore, I would see people like that.
Oh, one time, coming through the mall?
But you're again, you're equating by himself to lonely, and I don't know if that's necessarily
he might just
true.
Want to
well,
be
no,
by
you,
himself.
You
do
may,
you know what I mean?
You may enjoy being alone, but eventually it does become lonely. When I used to work at the bookstore, this is like 10 years ago, quite often I would see these old men who... I don't know, all their friends had died or something. They would come in. There was this one guy one time, he would like talk to me and he was buying a newspaper and I made some comments about it and he laughed and he's like, "Hey, so you like this?" And he's like trying to make a conversation with me. I was like, yeah. We talked for a little bit, but I had customers coming up. He's like, you wanna hang out? You wanna go get a cup of coffee or something? And it was really weird. He wasn't hitting on me. I didn't take it like he was hitting on me, but I really took it as
this guy's lonely.
Yeah, he never meets anybody who he can just talk to.
Right.
And his mind was blown that my answer was, "Well, no, I'm working." He was like, "Well, you can't just take a break and go get a cup of coffee."
Oh, wait, like in the middle of your shift?
In the middle of my shift. And in my mind, I'm thinking, what world is this guy from? He thinks at any moment I can just tell Barnes & Noble, "Hey guys, I'm not gonna be selling books for the next 20 minutes. I'm gonna go next door and get coffee with my new friend."
Harvey wants to take a little break.
The 70-year-old guy who I just sold a newspaper to. and it really made me realize or think, like, you know, yeah, you get a point in your life where it's just lonely. It's hard to socialize sometimes. It must be.
That guy might be a case of, because he seems pretty loony, thinking you can just go take a break. Maybe that's why he has no friends.
Because
he's kind of.
I just think he was. I just think he was from a past era where people could be like,
possible.
"Hey, boss, sure. I'm taking a 10.
Sure, but I will say, like, specifically in those other instances, I legitimately love my alone time.
You sound like the loneliest person I've ever met.
Damn it!
You sound like so repressed.
Yeah.
I just feel sorry for you sometimes.
Rocco, you're never alone. You're totally connected
socially.
Hey man,
if you ever need
so
like
ways.
Somebody to talk to, you have my number and I'm available for you.
Hit me up on one of
it's
the
okay.
apps.
It's okay. I got all my Silicon Valley bros.
We'll chat over.
Oh, that fucking
DM me.
Dude, this is getting really sad.
DM me, bro.
Hey,
we'll chat there.
I know you love Facebook, but I am like a real person and I'm just available for you if you need me.
Everybody who
no questions asked.
You say
Rocco.
Like face to face, he could just walk down to your office and open your door.
No questions asked. Whenever you need me,
your door's open.
Person to talk to, shoulder to cry on. I'm here for you.
I had multiple people ask me during PAX, "What did Facebook do?" They had a huge booth at PAX.
Yeah, huge.
And people kept asking, "What did Facebook do to deserve a booth? Like have a booth like that?" And I said, "Leaked 47 million American info."
They just give that to you if you can achieve.
Yeah,
that. It's like an achievement.
Hey, I said, hey, I was wondering if I could have a beanie. My name, you already know who I am. So they gave it to me.
Did he laugh?
No.
Did he think that you were a funny guy?
No.
Oh.
What's the problem with Facebook and info?
Like
I don't get it.
They know what DVDs you like.
Seriously, I've heard so much news this week. Yo, Facebook, can't trust them. They leaked all the information. Information scandal. And I just keep thinking, am I missing something? What's the big deal? What is the big deal? Legitimately, like, what's the big deal?
They gave everyone's, like, information. They had an algorithm that figured out kind of who you were based on what you like and who you talk to.
What do they know about?
And they gave that to people and sold you. They sold your information.
I thought they were already information?
Yeah, first of all,
they sold who you were. They know.
Like, your email address.
They know who you are.
Your email address and the fact that you like these things, they sold it to a company that could advertise those things to you.
It was, but what do they know about me?
It was
everything.
Well, here's where it was.
I'm failing to see the point why I should care.
Here's what it was. Okay. Is it was Facebook, when you sign up for Facebook, they have a whole terms of service that's like, hey, you know, how we make money is we're going to gather info on you, and then we sell ads that are, you know, hey, Rocco likes every page about Lost. Well, hey, we're going to sell him anything connected to that in any ancillary way. We're going to advertise to him. Okay, that's what they were already doing.
Yeah.
There was an app, I can't remember, but it was run by that Cambridge Analytica or whatever it was. Yeah. But there was a specific app.
Like a survey app.
That was scooping up all that info that Facebook was supposed to kind of use themselves. It was scooping that up and giving to Cambridge Analytica to give to all this extra.
And it's not just that, like, because a lot of times you had to, like, cook the thing, like, oh, I agree the terms of service of this one thing. But what they found out was there was a one of those things like, which Game of Thrones character are you? And if you did it...
So Cambridge Analytica knows what Game of Thrones character
is? If you did it, it gave them access to all this information.
They know,
but not
I'm
just for
Dick.
You, for everyone on your friends
everyone
list.
Everyone on your friends
so
list.
So people who didn't even, like, agree to this, and had to do with it, they were friends
with... Some dumb ex-girlfriend of mine took that survey.
Then they got you.
And then she got my info scooped
right.
up.
It was just
in
an
it.
Unethical...
Oh, here's the thing.
Have unethical use of...
Have you looked at the advertising catalogs Facebook keeps on you?
Yes. Yeah, I looked at
you can
it.
Download
I looked
that.
At it, too.
Yeah.
It was about 99% wrong.
Really?
It was stuff I had never heard of, never looked up, had no interest in.
Interesting.
It was all bullshit. The stuff being advertised to me was all... It was a lot of... what was it? A company called AFP, America for Prosperity. There were like 45 different America for Prosperity.
Oh,
and a
bad
bunch
word,
of...
Dude.
Hey, I'm going to get political for a second.
This is what...
A bunch of Republican shit...
I know what this is.
Was man. Like... It was listed as like, you're interested in this guy running for Republican governor of Minnesota. This guy running for Arizona. This guy running for Utah. I was like, I don't even know who the
They're
fuck
trying
these
to change
people
your mind.
Are.
The reason you're getting all those ads is because the Cambridge Analytica metadata was scooped up on you that maybe you're a little left-leaning. So that's what this lawsuit and everything is about, that those people who bought the Cambridge Analytica data then target ads to try to change your mind politically. And this is what that whole hearing
– really?
So
that's what I heard that some of this hearing was about in this last election.
Basically
– they used the metadata to target
– all the information they had on me was wrong.
Yeah.
And it all seemed like bullshit information that pretty much anybody – could already find on me on the internet to begin with.
Okay.
I never saw anything about, like, my home address.
No.
My phone number.
No.
My social security number.
I don't think it was going to have
anything. My banking information.
No.
It was
it's not.
It was all advertising stuff that was wrong.
I think it's still, though, it's just more of the, whether it was wrong or not, this whole fiasco that's been happening is more about the unethical taking of it. You know what I mean? Not so much like.
You didn't sign up.
Some people are freaking out that, like, oh, they know where I, you know. Where that I have cash under my mattress or something. They don't know anything like that. But it was more just the unethical scooping of it. You know, I think that's the problem. But that's funny, though, that you looked up all that metadata or whatever that Facebook keeps on you.
Uh-huh.
Mine was pretty... I mean, it wasn't like the most specific info, but it knew... It was, you know, it was like, oh, console... It was like video games, but specifically consoles.
Yep,
like,
that was on mine.
It knew I didn't, knew I didn't play on PC. Stuff like that. It said I was very liberal. Very liberal.
Mine said I was very liberal, too.
I've never
which made me angry.
Why I've never interacted with anything politically on Facebook, but, you know.
It offended me.
It's just because you like electronics. They're making a silicone judgment.
These guys saw my outfit and went, oh, he's from those.
He's from San Fran.
Final verdict. I'm going to cut through the bullshit. It's all bullshit. Everybody's upset over nothing.
Yep.
End of conversation.
Do you guys... I don't even think advertising fucking works on me. I mean, being that we know so much about it... I made this. I didn't give them any fucking money. I really think, like... Do you, being so... tied into how advertising works, because honestly, that's a way we make some of our money.
Sure.
When you see something on the sidebar of your email that's like, oh yeah, I was browsing on Amazon.
You're a walking billboard right now.
But here's the thing. This is what I've seen is like, sometimes I go to Amazon and I'll look up, I don't know, a costume piece. Let's say pants.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to get these pants. I'll do something else. And then I'm on Facebook later and I see those same pants. Like, oh, you know what? I should get those pants. I need to get those pants.
That works.
I've had that happen to me.
Yeah.
I instantly go, oh, I know what this is. I already said I don't need these fucking pants. I don't need those fucking pants.
So Sean's an impulse buyer.
No, I'm not. But I'm like, I'm the kind of guy who will like look at something and walk away and then like think about it for like a year and then come back. I did need that. I did need it and go back and get it.
Yeah, I've had that happen to me where I didn't pull the trigger on something and it came back.
And it comes back and they get you back in. I feel like it's never going to work. If someone calls me on the phone with a cold call, like they want to sell me something, it's if I am tuned in on the fact that, oh, I'm being advertised to, it's like over. I shut down and go, oh, I'll research and find an alternative product on my own.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I mean, that's the only instance I can think of, though, when it was like, yeah, bringing up something I didn't like, that was maybe in my cart and I didn't finish.
Yeah,
I think it's all about, when it comes to advertisement, it's all about planting the seed. They just mention the idea to you. It gets in your brain somewhere. It's kicking around in there. And now you're aware of it. So now next time you go to buy a product like that, your only point of reference is, well, I've heard of one company that makes that. So the fact that you've ever heard of them before.
It's like a billboard. It's just a picture, you know. But like you say, oh, Coke. And then you keep going about your day. But that was in there and it's swimming around in your head.
You know, if you were ever arrested and you had to call like a bail bondsman, probably only three would come to your mind.
Yeah, King Stallman.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That's who it called.
And that's a product you've never needed used, but now you have a go-to guy because you've been advertised to.
Absolutely.
True.
And is King Stallman good, Sean?
You don't know, but that's the guy you go to.
King Stallman gets the job done. He's the king for a reason.
And now some people at home are going to...
Can I tell you why I chose, when I needed a bail bondsman, the reason I chose King Stallman?
Why?
He's the fucking closest. His office was the closest location-wise.
Did you walk there?
To where yeah.
But you... How did you walk
there? You make a phone call, and then once it's all arranged, you walk there. Once you get out.
But they... I don't know how bail works. I mean, I thought they had
you
to bring it to you to get out.
You call up a bail bondsman, and you make the arrangements. They post your bail, and then you're released from jail.
And then you go there
and then you go there and deal with the shit. Sign the paperwork and get...
Say that you owe them everything.
Get ready to pay your ass.
You know what I would do? I would get out of jail and run away.
Yeah.
That sounds like a better plan.
Does anyone think about that? Hey, speaking of escaping from jail, can I talk about this?
Sure.
I don't know.
Hey,
how'd you do it?
Oh, yeah, well, I figured it out, but that's not what I'm going to talk about. The game A Way Out came out fairly recently.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I want to bring up just briefly that if you are on our Patreon, any moment now, if it's not up now, any moment now, there's a friend dimension where you get to see some of us play it. We played it together.
Props to that game for showing a digital cock.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You didn't think you were going to see it either.
You see a digital penis?
You see bare ass, and you're like, well, they're not going to commit.
Yeah.
And then you get not a full frontal shot, but when he turns, it's like,
not a full frontal shot, but we only played for 10 minutes before we saw it. So yeah.
I played a lot further.
Strong opening.
I think I'm near the end now.
100% of the game, you might see some ropes.
Yeah, so who knows? Who knows? Jury is still out. But anyway, I had a lot of fun playing that.
Well, I know why.
Yeah, there you go. Mm. But anyway, I'm further in it now than we were on that friend dimension. And I really enjoyed it. I give props to EA that they released something that is so out of their wheelhouse typically. Like, you know, it's like kind of just local co-op game. You know, it's not like some massive microtransaction like factory. It's just kind of that.
Yeah.
This little game. And I really, I was really enjoying it. There's some goofy shit in it. But I was really
speaking
enjoying it.
Of video games that are good, that you enjoy.
Yeah.
I already talked to you about this, Rocco, but I started playing Yakuza Kiwami.
Yeah.
Two weeks ago.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody out there, I didn't think I would like Yakuza. I am blown away by how much I like this game.
Wow.
Yakuza Kiwami is, like, so fucking good. Mm-hmm. I don't want to overhype it for everybody, but I was not expecting... Honestly, I was like, oh, this game's kind of open world. It's going to have a mafia story.
Yeah.
How original is that going to be? I'll try it. And, like, I was wrapped up in it. The story is really good. It's basically a vehicle to get from cutscene to cutscene.
Sure. Yeah.
The cutscenes I find really fascinating and interesting.
No, they're like good. Yeah.
The
good,
characters good are really interesting. It's like playing a badass movie. And the gameplay is fun. The street brawler fighting style.
Yeah. Oh, it's like Virtual Fighter.
It's like Virtual Fighter. I am really enjoying Yakuza. Yeah. Like, it is shocking to me. And it is like a spiritual successor to Shenmue. I play
exactly. It. That's why I love
it. I get the same vibes I got from playing Shenmue of like, oh, I'm just exploring this town, kind of getting to learn the culture. And it's kind of like a movie, and I'm invested in the characters, and I really like this.
Now, this is your first Yakuza game?
Ever. Yeah. I've never played one, ever.
So that's why, because everyone's going to have an opinion on what's the best one, or what or this or that, whatever. But they really are all pretty similar.
Yeah,
so
that's the
only thing I could even criticize the series for is, I personally have them all, I get them all, but I play probably every other one.
Yeah.
Because they are very similar. But once you've had enough time away, they're so fun to go back to.
And
that's what I've been doing. I want to say on the subject of Yakuza, I want to give a shout out. First of all, I want to give, this is a company that sometimes, you know, can be on shaky ground. Some things they do are go over well, sometimes not. But this week, they're in my good books.
Wow.
I want to give a shout-out to Sega.
Hell yeah.
For two reasons. One, they finally announced...
I knew you were excited about this.
Speaking of Shenmue is finally coming in HD.
One and two, right?
The console. Yes, for PS4 and PC and Xbox. Oh, my gosh. Finally, you don't have to hook up a Dreamcast to play the games.
Yeah. Like, finally. You know, it's been about 20 years. We can finally go back to Shenmue, revisit that story, maybe even wrap it up. Yeah, Mamoru, maybe.
Well, they're working on the third one.
So they say.
So they announced that, finally. Well done, Sega. Thank you. But another reason I want to thank Sega, and this is kind of a funny little anecdote, but they reached out to us. They apparently saw our... It's okay to say this, right, Kevin? You think?
I say it's okay.
Yeah.
Kevin's
our PR guy.
He's saying no,
sure.
Kevin,
why are you shaking your head? What?
He said get it in writing.
Fuck Kevin.
I'm gonna disregard Kevin because I'm going to be honest.
He's walking away.
He saw my outfit today and had this whole fucking jealous stink. So,
you all right.
Your hand on the gooch and was pulled back.
What was that all about? Hey, anyway, Sega reached out to us. Apparently, they saw our if pizza was video games.
Mm.
They saw our if pizza was video games video, and they said they actually asked, "Was that part about us?" There's a part at the beginning where someone gives someone a demo slice. I don't know why I'm saying someone. It's Derek. Derek gives someone a demo slice of pizza, and they eat the whole pizza.
Unconfirmed.
But anyway, they apparently saw that video and had a laugh. They gave us Yakuza 6. How great. So you played it on PPS this week, right?
Yeah, you gave me a code, and I downloaded it as soon as I could get my hands on it. And I hadn't played since, I think, Yakuza 4.
Which
was the three main stories.
Yeah, the one that was divided, which I loved.
And we played it last week. Brian and I played it on the PPS, and then last Sunday night I played a little bit more on like a late night kind of hangout stream that I did.
Oh, cool!
But I'm really loving it, like you are, Derek. And I didn't finish. I kind of fell off on Yakuza 4, and I had only done that first third of the story around the loan shark in Kamurocho.
Oh, okay.
But this game opens on that same location, that city.
They're looking for that guy.
I'm looking for that guy. So it was like, oh, this is exactly where I left off.
It kind of is a good follow-up.
I think that being what led me right into it hooked me in real tight because I'm into, like, I think Chapter 7 now.
Yeah.
More so than I've played in... I buy every other one, it seems. Like, I bought Yakuza 0.
I didn't really play Kiwami, ironically.
I didn't get Kiwami. Is Kiwami...
Because I played 0 so much.
Like a retelling of 2?
It's a remake of 1.
Oh, it's a remake of
1. And, you know, Doc Ryan was here, and he said, you have to skip Kiwami. Start with 0. Because it takes place in the 80s, and then you'll be ready for... The first one, which takes place in the 90s and 2000s, and I completely disagree. I am
is the first one.
That's he's like, it won't make any sense if you don't experience zero. I don't know why he said that. It makes
perfect sense. Because he's an idiot. And
he's a doctor, Sean.
I really like...
And my lawyer.
I like that it takes place in the 90s, and I like kind of the 90s look. But even more, I like the 2005 aesthetic of the game, because that's almost like a period piece now.
Yeah.
And it's just really interesting to me just to be set in those two decades.
Yeah.
And like I said, the storytelling is really good.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't expecting to enjoy it.
It's like a crazy soap opera, right?
It is, and it's really fascinating.
Yeah.
I just set the controller down. I'm like, oh,
just
shit.
Just watch it, yeah.
What's happening?
What's going to happen?
And so I have the same stuff to say about Six. I mean, it's all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I do want to say one thing that I was a little put off by when Zero came out, Yakuza Zero, I thought the translation was a little too silly. Like Yakuza always walks – they always walk this line of serious and kind of odd – you know, and do it really well. I thought Zero, the translations had kind of like memes.
Some meme
and just,
shit.
Yeah, just too far. So far in Six, I have not felt that way. There's funny stuff, but it's all in this dry context. And
just the missions, like taking care of your baby and stuff, yeah, are like inherently funny. And
yeah, without
he's not
memes.
Saying dumb internet shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But man.
Yeah, dude, you're walking around this. What makes me laugh the hardest in Yakuza 6 so far has been walking around the streets with my baby under one arm and then getting into discussions with guys that are just smoking in the baby's face. And then, like, getting into a fight. Oh, these guys want to fight. Oh, here, miss, hold this baby. And then, like, I go, and you just stay on the sidelines holding my baby as I beat the shit out of seven dudes.
I've seen Sean do that.
I take the baby back. Okay, let's keep going.
But my favorite has been, so far, I found out how to do live chats on the computer. And it's a cam girl website. And you can pick, it's like, wait, these are all actual Japanese models. And you pick them.
It's live
then
action.
It's digital virtual video game Kiryu, you know, he's on the keyboard typing. But the girl, it's real footage of a real girl, and she's typing, like, oh, God, how are you guys doing today? And you have to, like, match the buttons to type. I'm doing very well, you know. You know, you guys make me feel warm. How warm?
Oh, fuck.
Oh, it's getting too warm. Maybe I should take something off. And then you have to type, as you know, to match the buttons as fast as you can. Yes, please do that! Yes! Oh, and, okay, I got that in. Oh, okay. Oh, my heart's beating really fast. Where is your heart located? Right here. And she starts pulling her shirt down.
God.
And it's real footage! And what's great is they have the chat room going. They have a fictional chat room going. And the comments are so great on it. They're all going, yeah, you guys talking about her boobs? Yeah, you guys talking about her boobs right now? You know, and then, like, you at one point you type, it's getting harder. And she goes, fuck. What? And you write, like, my will to talk to you. But someone in the chat is going, oh, that's not what you're really talking about. You know what I mean? Someone who doesn't get it is in the chat room. I know that's not what he's talking about. I know it's really good. They really nailed the, like, dumb. And the guy's screen name is Divorced Seven Times. And, you know, anyway, I've been really having fun with it. But
it sounds like it.
But all of those things are tucked away in this serious story. I feel like in Zero, it all got a little too intermingled where it was all silly. This one, I feel like it's the right amount.
Nice. Can they explain what a BBC is?
Yeah, someone goes, what?
Oh, wait, no, I figured it out.
Oh, you figured it out, okay. But anyway, so yeah, having fun with that.
I think I finally, in this is like the third one I've attempted playing, and it finally clicked with me that the side missions aren't that much of a hindrance. They're always just kind of around the corner.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I've figured out how to play the game a little better.
Yeah.
And then eating and buying stuff from the vending machines just constantly is really the way to go. Just constant. Whenever you come across food, let's. Because you get EXP for it.
Yeah. So, anyway. So that's really all there is to say.
The brawling is fun.
Playing it more. And
the wrestling moves that they've added in, too. And, like, the New Japan Pro Wrestling cameos that are in this. I'm starting to see those guys pop up now.
Yeah, they're in it.
In clan battle stuff.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Very cool.
So yeah, that's been all.
I'm going to talk like this for the rest of the episode.
Oh. Dita instead
You're
of Derek.
Watching Tip Podcast.
The fuck just happened?
You sound like PewDiePie for a second there.
Do you like? Yes, man.
Oh, that's a different.
That's too far. Hey, I had a theory. Borat was the last significant comedy movie.
Significant?
Agree or disagree?
Not Bruno?
Okay, I'll give it to Bruno. But
it wasn't a cultural thing. Like
no, that. Here's what I mean by that. Here's what I mean by that. Let me validate my statement.
Okay.
What comedy movie since Borat has had a cultural impact?
Yeah.
You had... They were selling the Borat costume. People were quoting it.
I'm saying
it got to the point. It got to the point where if you quote it, people were like, "Oh, that it's so saturated."
Yeah.
What else since that movie?
I said The Hangover.
The Hangover.
Is Hangover?
And I still see Hangover. I didn't like that movie, but you know what? I think that was
Hangover.
Yeah, I liked it.
I didn't like it.
Whoa, hot take! You didn't like Hangover.
You didn't like it.
I mean, I'm not going to say I fucking loved it, but...
I saw it in theater.
I thought it was solid.
I still see that shirt. You know that shirt with the baby on it?
And glasses.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The baby was a real big marketing thing, but I don't think the baby wearing glasses had the cultural impact that Borat did. And outside of the baby wearing sunglasses, there was nothing that was really,
quotable.
That really caught on to like the zeitgeist.
Not quite in that way,
of
I guess.
Culture.
Although you wouldn't know it if you go to Vegas. Vegas, it's still there are fucking quotes from it everywhere. You go to Caesar's Palace and their gift shop is still shit from that movie. Yeah, you wouldn't know it in that bubble, but outside of that, yeah, maybe not on the level.
Because we were in PAX and Step Brothers was on TV.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking like, oh yeah, Step Brothers. I saw this movie in theater and I was like, this is kind of a forgettable comedy. And then that kind of made me think like, you know, a lot of comedies these days are forgettable. Yeah. I feel like it's hard to make a comedy
these days. Old
it's
School hard. Was huge and then it was, there was one in between that. Anchorman was giant. Fuck that movie. Anchorman has ruined
San Diego.
Like maybe the world doesn't see this, but like in every single sports game or whatever or talk show, they always reference fucking Anchorman. It's so fucking old.
It's our city, guys.
People outside of where we live might not be able to feel this as much, but for us, every time I go to the airport, it's Stay Classy San Diego shirts.
Yeah, there was a radio station that just showed up recently.
Yeah,
that didn't call San Diego San Diego. This kept saying whale's vagina.
Real funny. Guys.
This happened like 2 weeks ago, and it's like, what the fuck are we doing? Whoa!
If I go into a bar or restaurant around the San Diego area, and there are a few of them that have that framed poster of Ron Burgundy, like in the smoking jacket, on the wall. It's like, oh, this place sucks. I'm here for a birthday, but I've noted, never come back.
Anchorman is definitely overquoted, but I don't hate that movie. In fact, I really enjoyed Anchorman when I first saw it.
I'm trying to think.
It got annoying. And
I like Hangover. Hangover when I saw it too. I think the problem with comedies is when they're too good. People who aren't funny will just repeat the jokes from that movie, and it's like, well, the movie was funny when they did it.
Yeah,
for
I don't
the
hold
first
it against
time.
Yeah,
well, same with the Napoleon Dynamite, even though it really wasn't a comedy, I guess, but like that was so overdone.
Yeah,
but that wasn't
their fault. Yeah, I don't remember really liking Anchorman when I saw. I mean, the second it started, you had the fucking baby talking or something, and I was like, what the fuck is this movie? What are we doing? But
I don't buy a lot of comedies. Yeah, I don't like a lot of recent comedies.
But I really can't think of another one since Hangover was or wasn't as big, even still, what I feel like the era of the R-rated comedy is kind of at a lull right now.
Cock Blockers.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it's just called Blockers.
Sorry.
There's a picture of a rooster above it. I know what that means.
That's just there for fun.
That's bird.
What about Bad Moms?
Bird Blockers.
Rooster Blockers.
Okay.
Daddy's Home 2?
Yeah.
Daddy's Home 3 is where it's going to hit.
Where they're going
to
really
peak. Hey, all right. Shout out to the chat. I see you guys in there. 21 Jump Street. A lot of people are saying 21 Jump Street. I like 21 Jump Street when it came out. I watched that.
I didn't feel like that was on that level, though.
I don't think that's cultural impact. No.
We're not just saying, like, beloved comedy. It's something that had it. Yeah.
There are funny movies, but yeah, I'm talking about something that is. That enter, like,
yeah.
Borat. I don't really mean this on the same level, but Borat is kind of up there with Darth Vader, where it's like, he's just,
yeah, I know you
he's
mean
recognizable all on his own. Yeah, you know, yeah. You could just see a guy walking down the street and be like, oh,
Mankini.
That guy's dressed anyone up as
in any
Borat.
Country, anyone in any country would know it.
I don't think anybody would see somebody cosplaying as somebody from 21 Jump Street and be like, oh, yeah. 21 Jump Street. I don't even know the character's name from 21 Jump Street.
I don't even
Street.
Know who those two actors Michael are 21. In it. The remake actors.
Curtis Jump.
What's a podcast question of the week? What's a recent comedy that...
That was like a phenomenon.
Yeah.
What's Amy Schumer up to? I bet hers are good.
Maybe I'm just not watching good... Maybe I'm just fucking tuned out.
What's her new movie?
I'm not aware what's going on.
I think I'm pretty. Amy's... Pregnant? I don't know.
Amy's pregnant.
Yeah. Hey,
check out Amy's pregnant.
She puts her name on all her stuff.
I think you're fucking gross.
Oh.
That's my name for your movie. Hey, hey, anybody ever watch This Is Us and think, no, it ain't? Fuck that.
Yep.
Nah.
Wait, I've seen some This Is Us.
Do you ever watch Roseanne and say, fuck you, Roseanne?
Yeah. I got a name for your movie, Roseanne's Ass. Fuck that.
Someone said Bridesmaids. I think that was a pretty big thing.
That was big. Was it big on that level, though? I don't know.
You know what? I think
it was up there.
It's pretty big.
Is that an Apatow original?
I saw the movie recently. It's pretty funny.
Bridesmaids.
That's a movie. Oh.
Brides shit.
Bachelorette party.
I'm just quoting the movie. There's a part.
Melissa McCarthy
said. I had
it.
Thai food. Hey, I want to say on that note, shop.mega64.com is our sponsor this week. We had to pay a lot for that plug. I hope you like it. If you don't, it won't happen again.
Oh.
But I want to say thank you to everyone who has ordered from shop.mega64.com. And if you haven't, go there and enjoy some fine apparel and Blu-rays and everything else you can ever think of.
Yeah.
If it's Mega 64, it's there at shop.mega64.com.
Do that shit.
Advertising doesn't work on me.
We had some recent we had some recent pre-order, like we had some items that people had pre-ordered, and we'll have some more updates on those soon, but rest assured they're being worked on and we'll have some updates on them this week. If you haven't ordered anything from us before, why not start now? Shop.mega64.com.
Beautiful.
And don't forget, patreon.com/mega64 is a great place to not only support this amazing production we do, but you get so many extra things.
Which people may have just gotten the lunchboxes and thermoses recently.
Oh. Yeah, the last those package delivered. Went out recently and went out great.
And God, that was... I think I'm so happy with those.
Yeah. Is that your favorite item so far?
I like that plushie of you.
The plushie?
That's a personal thing for me, though. Kevin and I, like, the day before we went to PAX, it was like a mad dash to get those out in time. So we did it. We ruined every post office in San Diego. They were fucked because of us. But
yeah, but we did it.
It was worth it.
So that's all great. Buy that stuff. Do it. Getting back to comedy movies.
Okay. Yeah.
When I was flying home from Boston on the plane, I was in the window seat. I was sitting next to two strangers. This is a guy and a girl. They were
when
a
you were going to Boston?
No,
or
when I was
back?
Flying home from Boston.
Okay, okay.
I had the window seat. I was sitting next to a couple. They were probably my age, maybe a little bit younger, late 20s. You know, they were a couple. They were together. The girl had her phone. There weren't screens on the back of the TV like I like. They had to watch entertainment on their phone. So she put her phone into the slot of the seat in front of her, and they were both listening to the headphones together, sharing, watching this phone, and I looked over. I peek at what they're watching. They're watching fucking Boss Baby?
What the?
Yeah, these two fully grown ass people.
That movie's for like a 2 or 3 year old.
Yeah, and it made me think, again, talking about comedy movies, not to beat a dead horse, but it made me think like this is kind of the only successful comedies these days are like children's movies. It just blew my mind. Is Boss Baby good? I never saw Boss Baby.
You know
is that a good ass? Like, is that a funny fucking movie and I'm like missing out on it? These two grown-ups were watching Boss Baby and I was like losing my shit. Like, my fucking dreaming... Are these adults like engaged in Boss Baby right now? I had to go take a shit on the plane.
Oh, did you really?
I did. And I
did too.
I was like, excuse me, could I? If they were like,
glad I stayed out of Boston.
Oh, pause. Like, they're all upset. I was like, I'm sorry I'm making you pause, boss baby, to go take a shit. By the way,
you get a shit in the screen, the same thing.
Most gratifying shit I've had in a long time. There's something about taking a dump on a plane, which is like, wow.
Never in my life.
Welcome to the 21st century. If the ancient Greeks could see me now.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that I'm shitting 60,000 feet in the air?
Yeah, there is kind of a 2001 A Space Odyssey feel to it.
There is, like, yes!
Look how far the apes got.
This is the pinnacle of mankind. I get to shit at 300 miles an hour flying over the North American continent.
Well, usually I'm not able to enjoy it because the only times I've ever done that on a plane were like, oh man, I'm sick. Oh, this is not, you know, like, it's a bad
thing. One time you were gone for like the entire flight.
No, it wasn't the whole flight. It was a whole movie.
It was like 2 hours, which was scary.
The movie Hitchcock started, and it ended when I got out. But that was the whole flight.
No.
I thought maybe you had, like, this is morbid, died on the toilet.
The flight
attendants, I didn't know you were gone for so long.
Yeah. They would knock if you're in there too long.
Yeah, I think somebody did, but that's okay. But anyway,
somebody tried to come into my toilet too. And
oh my god!
Luckily, the door was locked.
Nightmare for us, right?
Nightmare, dude.
Then we got to start all over again. Concentrate. Don't knock, please. No noises.
Yeah, but it was bad. I hate having to do that, but it was a mad dash.
I can only imagine how good those astronaut shits are.
Wow, that's a whole nother
that's
level.
That's true.
You're up there.
That's another level. You can
see.
You're right.
You can see the blue marble. And then you take a vacuum hose and shove it up your ass.
Is that how they do it?
Hit start and start blasting.
They shove a... No.
You can't. It's zero gravity. You
how do you
particles.
Poop in...
It's a vacuum hose.
It sucks
hose.
It out.
You attach a vacuum to your ass and you shit
that's
into
awesome.
It.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's like a dog.
You know, you should get the window view if you do that, though, because that is true. There was a time that I was shitting, and there was like a window right there.
They had a window in the bathroom?
Yeah, but it was like up so high, it was just a view of the ocean. And there's nothing else. And I was like, this is a...
Wait, where? On a plane?
No,
what are you talking about?
On just in land, bro.
Disappointing. No, I thought you said your plane had a window in the bathroom.
Every bathroom I use has a window.
No,
Yeah, what are you
shitting
in jail?
This one was like a beautiful shot of the ocean, the sunless day. I'm like, this is beautiful, and I'm doing something that's not. But if you're in space and you get the window and you see the Earth. Whoa,
that's
an experience.
I'd be worried someone on Earth would have a really good telescope and could watch me.
You would be worried about that.
You know, like, I think I could see the space station from...
Oh, no! Two plants have collided! And the mantle core is spewing out, and it's brown! No! Hey, those aren't two planets. You're looking at Rocco Bodie's ass taking a shit in space. Ah!
Detailed story there.
Oh. They'd think all
story.
Yikes!
They wouldn't say that. They'd be like, "You know what? I'm looking at the moon tonight. It's the cutest moon I've ever seen." Ooh,
full. The moon is full.
It would be like the end of Ark of the Covenant when they open it up and the lightning starts hitting them in the eyes.
Don't look! Don't open your eyes!
Did you know you're looking at Rocco Bodie's ass taking a shit
from space?
Oh. I'm done.
Anyways, shit jokes.
Anyway, there you go.
Well,
so Has the astronaut
ever talked about that? Have we ever gotten a TED Talk on that?
Oh yeah,
in space
people. I think it's like a catheter you put on for number one.
Because I would like to see a documentary on just that.
And then I think there's like
on
a
pooping in space.
There's like
a
dock. It's like butt cheek shaped dock that you press.
Now I learned
into.
This when I was like 8 years
is
old.
There, the air sucks
own,
right
do they have
in.
Their own room, or do you have to do it in front of the other astronauts?
You just
there?
No, you oh just put God. Your butt up against
a
wall.
It's a bathroom with a vacuum hose
there's
that you attach to your butt.
Certain things you have to give up when you're going
like
out in
privacy?
Space. Yeah, I think so.
You think that everyone poops in front of each other?
Yeah.
Do you think that the vacuum gets a smell out too?
Yeah, it sucks all the air
there's
and everything.
There's no smell in space. It's a vacuum.
There's a smell in that space station. You're telling me you don't smell anything at all?
No.
Well, you're breathing, station. So you might probably smell
it's empty
I
space.
Think that,
this empty space.
If
smell is an earth thing.
If Doug Ryan farts in that station, you're smelling
the
it.
Smell particles bump up against other particles, and they keep bumping up until it touches your nose.
Oh.
But in the vacuum of space, there's no collisions, so no smell.
That reminds connects. Me. That reminds me. Sorry, not space related.
Let's go through you.
Did you guys hear the newest study about the air blade? The
fan?
You know, Dyson? Yeah, that dry your hand.
Oh,
did
in
you
bathrooms?
Hear the thing about this?
No.
What?
All these studies are coming out that these things are not good.
Those fans?
And here's why.
No.
Here's what the study... Because
they're expensive.
They suspected this, and now they've done all this research, and it's all of them are lining up. They basically said that all day long in a public restroom, the air is filled with shit germs.
Yeah.
Air, all day long, there is air with shit particles in it.
Yeah.
Floating in there. And they said that these air blades are just collecting that air. And when they blast the air at your hands, it's just the recycled air of that room. And so they said,
I think you put your hands in the bathroom.
You're talking about, so it's like...
yeah.
It dries your
The things you stick your hand in and they've got air jets on
either side.
It's
like a little plastic basin, yeah, and you go like this and it blasts you from both sides. Oh.
They said it's collecting those shit germs from the air, recycling them through the thing all day.
Yeah.
And when it blasts you with that air, it's a more concentrated blast of the shit germs.
And it's other people's shit germs. Yeah, I mean, your own shit germs.
People from hours ago.
Whatever. You know what? Here's,
yeah, but I think that that's the one they used as a more.
Can I tell you my take on whenever shit germs enter the conversation?
Yeah.
When you really look at the science, you cannot escape shit germs.
True.
They're everywhere. Fucking everywhere. So whenever somebody tells me, oh, a new report came out and there's shit germs all over this, I just want to be like, hey, do more research and you're going to find you're a walking shit germ.
But that's not
they're fucking everywhere.
But that's not the argument, but of course they're I'm not in like total fear of that all the time either. But they're just saying those machines concentrate.
Sure.
Yikes.
So it's just like
as shit particles.
Yeah, like
we're getting bigger.
When I again, another Barnes & Noble store. I worked there once and there's a lady who came in who refused to use the debit pin pad.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I was like, she's like, can I pay with debit? And I was like, yeah, just swipe here and put your number in there. She'd be fine. She's like, I don't touch those. And I was like, really? Because that's the only way we could do debit. She's like, a research came out. They studied these buttons and they found that 99% of these buttons are nothing but fecal matter.
I thought it was going to be about her data.
99%. I looked at her and I was like, yeah. Okay. And then she looked at me back. She was like flabbergasted that I didn't care. She went, human shit. Yeah. And I went, yeah, I know what fecal matter is.
Yeah.
What do you want me to tell you?
How did she pay then? What did she do?
We compromised. I had to give her a pencil.
Yeah, I poked it.
And she poked it. What she didn't know is I shoved that pencil so far up my ass.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
100% shit germs on that thing.
You should bring your own fucking pencil.
Exactly.
Wear gloves.
If you have a little... thing, that's fine.
You can use my pencil, but don't smell it.
You gotta recognize your thing and then solve it yourself.
Bring some
gloves. So basically, I agree. There, that shit is everywhere. To act like it's not, you know, it's you can't do it. But these studies are suggesting though with the air thing that it's like your hands are dirtier than before you washed them. That's the only thing that's just goofy about it.
Interesting.
Supposedly.
Let's bring back
classic
that,
pants.
There's that infinite loop of like towel in a winder from the 40s where it would just recycle. You wash your hands and then roll it to the next part.
You know what I heard once?
I don't know if I've ever seen
it. You know what I heard once? I was watching the History Channel. You ever see something on the History Channel and you just don't believe it? You're like, no way.
Yeah, Pawn Stars.
No way.
All the time.
They said that Roman toilets.
Oh. Yeah.
Roman public bathrooms was a room, and on each side of the room was flowing water against the wall. And it was just a one long bench on either side of the room.
Okay.
No partitions, no privacy. So basically, people would just go in there, sit on a bench,
hang their ass over,
and shit into the little streams on the side of the rooms.
Okay.
No toilet paper. The benches had sticks with rags on them.
Yeah.
And you would dip the rag into the water, and then scrub your ass with it, and then leave it for the next person, they would publicly share those rags on the end of a stick. Yeah, and I just thought, like,
shit rag.
No way.
They did not know about germs, though, back
then. Rome's still
where are the Romans? I'm looking at one.
Likewise, we're here, baby. We made it. There was a, I remember seeing a thing about, there was some, I don't remember what it was, but it was a female host showing this, hey, this is like a really old style bathroom in, I don't know where it was. I don't want to say Rome, but some European territory, whatever, really old place. And but it was a little more advanced kind of bathroom. Okay, here's the sink, but the soap, they didn't have a soap dispenser. It was like they had almost like a, it almost looked like a fucking candelabra coming out of the wall. And it had like a big thing of soap, like a, it was like a, I don't know how to describe it. It was like there was a soap brick around it.
Uh-huh.
Like they just like stuck it on. So everyone just rub your hands on that. Yeah. And that's your soap. And then you wash it under it. And so you have to touch everybody's bar of soap, basically.
Yeah,
so that was a little weird, but I guess progress, I guess.
Okay.
But this woman showed how it worked, and I remember it was like, oh, no, don't film this. And she's like, she's going like that? Like, this is how you get soap. And it was like, oh, no.
That's how you get something else.
Did the camera crew not tell her? Okay. Anyway. But I remember, I never forgot that.
Wow.
The things that imprint on you.
Right. We got to end this podcast with a song.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
This is an automatone. Somebody sent this to us. Who sent this? Anyone remember?
It was
our friend Turtleverse.
Dan.
Oh, nice.
At PAX East.
Turtleverse sent this. I actually practice with one of these. I'm a classically trained automatone player, and I am taking requests. Anybody?
You can do it. You can nail it.
I would like to hear NIB by Black Sabbath.
I don't know that song. It has to be a song that I know.
What about...
You got it.
Okay, there we go. We knew you knew it.
Let me set this. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Whoa!
That was pretty good.
Wow.
Wow. Do Temporary Secretary.
I don't know how that song... Oh, yeah. I guess it'd be Temporary.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough.
That's a lot. That's finger picking.
See if you can do that part.
Oh, he nailed it.
That's actually,
dude, you got it.
You're there.
That's actually Hot for Teacher.
Oh, I hear it.
Okay.
Nice.
I brought my pencil.
What?
Should've known better than to cheat a friend.
Do,
waste a chance that I've been given.
Wow.
That's fucking
really good.
Amazing.
Thank you, Soulverse. Thank you.
Thanks.
Whoa.
Wow, that's awesome.
I'll be in concert at Lollapalooza later this week.
Since the podcast ended,
you missed Coachella.
Can you play Closing Time?
Closing time.
It's pretty good.
Beautiful. Good night.